This is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today.
You're listening to Rise of the Robots. I'm the Grizz.
I'm Alan.
And today we will be covering BattleBots 2.0, episodes 5 and 6.
Yep, so this is the last of the tapings. Thankfully I'm awake this time, unlike the last session of the recording.
And I'm not that drunk yet. Like I was at the last of the tapings, because I do not remember talking about day 5 whatsoever.
Yeah, neither of us actually remember that episode, so that's going to be fun when I edit it.
I'm almost convinced that the episode didn't happen at this point.
Oh no, it happened. It exists.
Good. That's good to know.
Yep, so episode 5 and 6. One thing that is good, they are jumping straight into the first battle now.
Yeah.
So they jump into the lightweight version of Scrap Daddy.
Scrap Daddy LW55.
Versus Ziggo.
Ah, Ziggo.
Which is based on a cat, which is a ridiculous premise for a robot.
What are you talking about?
Hello, Taco.
Yeah, my back hurts, so I've kind of laid down for 5 minutes, and normally when I lay down, that is the perfect time for Taco to come up and get a cuddle. So now he is on me. So if you hear any purring in the background, that is him.
Yep. That is in the house.
So we do a little backstage, or a little at home with Team Ziggo, and they mention that it is based on their really
psychotic cat.
Their mean cat that's passed away, but they have this cute little shrine to him in the back garden, which I think is really sweet.
Well, I think that might be where he's buried.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah. Like, it's got a wee photo of him and a little tombstone. And the whole concept of it is, like, he was a mean cat that would constantly claw people. So he would do a lot of damage. And so Ziggo, the full-body spinner, also does a lot of damage because this match does not last very long.
Oh yeah, Scrap Daddy, it turned out, is armoured with tinfoil.
Oh yeah.
So the first time that Scrap Daddy gets even touched... Uh-oh. Podcat.
Podcat.
The first time that Ziggo even breathes near Scrap Daddy, one of the wheels flies off.
Oh, yeah. Those wheels looked janky to begin with, just as wheels. But now you're then put into a match against Ziggo. And it's like, no. So the first hit, takes off one wheel. And then the second hit, the robot literally is torn in two.
Well, actually, no. There's three hits. The first one tears a wheel off. The second one tears a giant hole in the front of the robot, back of the robot.
Yeah.
And then the third blow sends it skating into the wall, bounces off the wall, what's left of it gets destroyed, and there's not even anything left for the pulverizer to hit.
Oh, jeez. I mean, it started off as scrap, and it ended as scrap.
Yes.
Ugh. How morbid.
Oh. Now I have Podcat.
Yeah. Podcat. Meow, meow. So we'll move on to the next fight, which was Overkill against Frostbite.
So Overkill, it is Team Coolbots with a Wedge Hammerbot, very similar to Toe Crusher that was on last time?
I believe so.
So... yeah, this is an interesting little battle. Its opponent is Frostbite, which is a invertible bot with a scoop on the front, which is a stupid idea for a robot.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Hi, Taco.
It's a whim.
Hi, Taco.
So, this match was...
yeah, now this match, I actually think it's the closest match of that we've seen so far, and certainly the judges seem to agree on that.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just so obviously Overkill being a kind of thwackbot, and Frostbite literally having no kind of proper weaponry other than like the snow shovel kind of weapon. So there wasn't a lot of like visible damage, but I genuinely kind of felt like Overkill was kind of more aggressive.
Yeah. Like Overkill's more aggressive. That said, Frostbite did manage to get Overkill stuck on the wall a few times.
Yeah. So maybe that might have been
the deciding factor.
Yeah. So the match ends. It goes the distance, the 3 minutes. It goes to the judges. And in a 23-22 split decision, Frostbite wins.
Which is as close as you can get.
Yeah. And I then wrote in the notes, I don't know if I would agree with that myself. And Bill Dwyer also says, I don't know if I would agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a close decision. And you could see justification to either one of them winning.
Yeah. Just kind of feel like, if anything, maybe Overkill would have maybe got it on damage for actually having an actual damaging-ish weapon.
Absolutely.
Hi guys, Alan
and Agris
here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people about doing this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
We then move on to the last of the matches, this time in the lightweight division, and it's Salad versus Mouser Mecha Catbot. So we've got Salad, which is a four-wheel drive robot with a... I'm not quite clear if this is meant to be a lifter or a hammer.
Yeah, because they said it was a lifter, but it definitely used it as a thwacking weapon.
Yeah, it kind of does both. Mouser Mecha Catbot is a dome-shaped robot with this kind of flipper that simultaneously flips normally and tilts to the side.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's
a very strange looking device. It also this year has a
tail axe.
Tail butt axe.
Which unfortunately gets it into far too much trouble.
It certainly does.
So this is the second robot today inspired by a cat, interestingly. Meow. So it actually looks pretty similar in terms of dome-shaped robot.
Yeah, actually.
So this match, you notice the difference between this and, say, for instance, the super heavyweights and heavyweight in terms of the speed both robots are travelling over the floor.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, Salad is a very nimble little robot that uses its bizarre weapon.
It also probably highlights just how slow Scrap Daddy was as well.
Yeah. Well, I think Scrap Daddy was just kind of one of these things where it's like, we'll build them in all weight classes and we'll just go and have some fun. But
yeah,
I don't know if like they were exactly hoping that those things were going to do very well, because they, just looking at the wheels and the kind of the weird long bars that they had for the wheels, I think they would probably be like, yeah, that's a bit flimsy.
Yep. So, early on this match, it's actually very close in terms of both robots are really battling for position. They're really kind of manoeuvring and trying to use their weapons. And what actually happened is Mouser Mecha Catbot brings its axe down onto the wheel bay of Salad.
Yeah, it was using the axe like a couple of times and it just got stuck.
And unfortunately for Mouser Mecha Catbot, Salad has more pushing power.
It certainly does.
So what Salad does is it feeds Mouser Mecha Catbot to the pulverizer.
Yeah,
it just
takes Mouser over and just kind of, well, obviously, I was going to say it leaves it there, but Salad also there because they are stuck together and Mouser just gets counted out.
Well, what happens is Mouser gets squished.
It does.
Look, it completely caves in on one side.
Yeah, it does.
It is brutal. It's on the catty side rather than the robot side. So maybe it'll have an all-robot paint job next time.
Maybe. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm debating whether to use that or Mouser Mecha Catbot's theme.
I think you should use Mouser's theme. Because literally I can't see Mouser Mecha Catbot now without hearing Rera singing it.
Well, that is a question. Do we edit in the actual song or
Rera singing it.
Oh, I'll need to get permission for that. Cool.
I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
So,
because every podcast where Mouser Mecha Catbot's mentioned, she's like, pink!
Blue! We get on to episode 6 with 4 matches.
What?
Yeah. Also, I should point out, we don't cover any of this, but in between, there's interviews, there's everyone talking, but none of it's that interesting.
None of it is interesting. It's like
the videos, the backstage videos with the teams tend to be quite good, but other than that, it's all just...
Yeah, but like, I've included them when there's been
good ones.
Little things to talk about, yeah, but like, some of them are just like, here's a robot, sure is a robot.
Yep.
So we get into the first match of episode 6, which is
the last Brit standing.
Well,
So it's Big Umbrella versus Voltronic.
So Voltark, like, but newer.
I think this is, yeah, the upgraded Voltark. This match is horrible because Big Umbrella just can't get underneath.
Yeah. Look, literally the last note that I have for this match is this was the dullest Big Brother match I've ever seen.
And it is. It's the problem as well is Voltronic, the way that it does its damage is it, unlike a lot of flippers that are obviously about the speed and the immediacy, chaos to,
yeah,
this is a much more big cheese style lifter.
What I would equate it to is Panic Attack. It's the way that Panic Attack always kind of scoops up an opponent, kind of
feeds it to,
yeah, feeds it to the house robots and then dumps it in the pit. That's kind of what Voltronic does, is it pulls its opponent up on top of it and then would, you know, kind of feed it to the hazards and that sort of thing.
Yep. And it is, I think it doesn't go to a judge's decision because they managed to get Bigger Brother over, and then as it goes to Shreemak,
mm-hmm.
Voltronic just goes, nope.
Just holds it there.
You're not getting back up from that, son.
Well, it does go to a judge's decision because it was a 43-12 victory for Voltronic.
Well, to be fair, it got 12 points.
Yeah.
Mostly for it. It is aggressive, I'll give it that.
I kind of made this comment in Bigger Brother's first match, but there's just no flipping power there.
Yeah, the flipper's very much in its infancy. And also, to be fair, one other thing. Joe immediately goes for the handshake. He's drilled in the... No, you still...
Yeah. Don't be a kid about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is...
refreshing.
You know, like...
There are... As we've said before, much like with some other kids, there are kids...
It rocks!
Well, I was actually going the opposite way with it. There are kids who show up some of the adults.
In terms of
their respect, their...
Yeah. I guess I had the completely different thought of...
Yeah.
There are some kids that are just like, oh yeah, we're going to win everything, and then when they lose, they just kind of cry about it, and it's like... But the way that Joe is like, he's grown up a lot more.
Yeah.
And it goes to show right here where, like, we lost, but you know what, good match, that kind of thing. Yep. And understands that, like, you might not win all the time, but yep, you know, at least you're like enjoying yourself, which he is evidently very much doing.
Absolutely. So we then have quite possibly the most complete display of dominance I think we'll see in the entire series.
The most professional wrestling robot fighting match I've ever seen.
So, it is the middleweight division, Complete Control versus Super Chiabot.
Chiabot.
So, Chiabot is a giant hedge with a saw. And Complete Control...
And two mini-bots,
which that's the first time we've had mini-bots. Complete Control, this is very much it in its prototype stage.
The dangerous hexagon or whatever that...
Oh, so is it dead?
What's that thing called? The evil hexagon is not the name of it. It's like... I don't know. But I know what we're talking about. They had the little red and green ball mini-bots.
Oh, so is it dead, yes. So anyway, getting on to this match. So Complete Control, it's this grappling robot. And the whole idea of it is it can grapple and grip its opponent. Now, the idea, at first, the commentators seem to be convinced that the idea is, oh, it suplexes its opponent over. I get the impression that's not actually what the purpose of it is. Because what happens in the fight... Complete Control gets the perfect grip, grabs it, and holds it aloft. And then slams it down.
Yeah.
And then takes it to the saws. And then what happens is it lifts it, and
Cheerbot, I don't know what it does, but Cheerbot kind of moves just as they're lifting it.
It
kind of
gets
and it unbalances.
Yeah.
And what happens is you actually see complete control go, ah! And get pulled over onto its back.
It genuinely is a perfect vertical suplex, though. But
the problem is, it leaves both robots stuck on their back.
Yeah. No. I mean, this is... You say it's not really meant to do that, but it... This
I don't
is
know
the kind
of not meant, but I mean, in terms of the way it's presented, it looks like the idea is, oh, it lifts opponents rather than throws them over.
But it then starts to become known as the suplexing robot, and it's I think it was just kind of, as you said, it was the way that Chiabot just kind of got stuck at a certain point, and that's what sort of dragged Complete Control over with it.
Well, it was my knowledge of Complete Control is the match with Bombshell.
Yeah.
Which is when it basically goes, I have a grip on you and now fire.
The addition of the fire is something else.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see this with fire. So what happens is, the two robots are stuck together. So we're going to self-right them. In the most scary, terrifying way possible.
Right.
And Cheerbot comes down with a bump.
Because they very slowly and very nicely flip over
Complete Control.
Complete Control, and then you just go bleh.
Yeah. And when Cheerbot gets back running, the saw's not working.
Huh, I wonder why. Is it because you just threw fucking Cheerbot?
And Complete Control just goes, I'll have some more of this. Grab slam, grab slam.
Definitely don't try and suplex, though.
Well, we're not going to suplex, because we're not ready yet.
We're not
yet.
Going to suplex say today.
Not today. But, I mean, that is... It is the most absolute display of dominance.
I guess you could say he was in
complete
control. Yeah!
What I love is you took the shades off.
Of course.
We're not being filmed now.
What are my shades, actually? Oh, no. Better not have, like, left them somewhere.
Well, those 3D glasses.
There we go. let's try that one more time. I guess you could say he was in complete control. Yeah!
Never watched that show.
Never have I. I just know that meme. It's just...
Hey, guys. Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. So, we get on to what would normally be our main event.
But this match ended super quick.
Yeah. So, it is in the superweight heavyweight...
The superweight heavyweight?
The super heavyweight...
The super duper scooper heavyweight division.
The fat boys division.
Hey, thick boys.
It is the defending champion Minion.
Minion.
Versus the Atomic Wedgie.
And you would think, Atomic Wedgie, what a dumb name for a robot. This can't be good at all.
It has two gigantic spinning blades.
But they're kind of like biohazard. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for. No, yeah, no.
Nuclear.
Nuclear shaped.
Yeah, nuclear radiation bad shape.
That's the one, radiation.
And...
because it's atomic.
Yeah. Now, one thing that happens is because Minion has... so Minion, it has the same kind of lifting scoop that drags around the ground a bit and the giant saw blade.
Mm-hmm.
And at first you think, oh, it's Minion. You know, this is Minion. It'll be a nice, easy victory. Atomic Wedgie has the stupid chain lifters. I mean, it just looks stupid.
And is that not the tracks?
No, it's not. I don't think it's a track bot, is it?
It looks like that goes all the way around.
Yeah, it might be a track then. It's track slash lifters then, or it's invertible, or whatever the purpose of it is.
Yeah.
And what happens is, at first you're like, oh, it's an easy victory, easy victory. And then Atomic Wedgie takes off the covering of the front wedge of Minion.
Yeah, which kind of leaves it useless after that.
Yep, and what then happens is Minion then reverses back into the wall as Atomic Wedgie chases it. And I'm not sure if it's the saw of Minion or if it's the power of Atomic Wedgie that takes Minion over.
I think it's something Minion does. Like, it kind of goes to run away from Atomic Wedgie, and then it goes disc first into the wall, and that momentum takes it over. Because at first I thought that Atomic Wedgie...
Minion's saw blade is cursed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, it blew up in the first match, like, last season, and then
it
won without it. It did it? Yeah, they won.
Yeah, they won last year.
They didn't win this match.
And so, Atomic Wedgie gets a devastating and shocking victory.
Yeah.
This is probably a bigger surprise even than, say, for example, the Mauler Big Brother fight.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's your champions, and they're gone now.
Yep. And at this point, I make a note, these stats are all trash.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I don't get is, instead of showing us the judges' scorecard, which would be interesting, they go...
hazard damage. But the thing they always do is they change it depending on the robots. So it's like, flips. Fucking... Atomic Wedgie got one flip in. It's like, yeah, it's the flip that won the match.
Yeah. And because that match was so short, we have time for another.
They literally call it a bonus fight.
2 minutes before the end of the show. So I wonder how long this fight's going to go for.
Not very long.
So the two robots are Tripultaraptor.
Yeah, I can't remember how that was pronounced.
Which is a giant claw bot.
And
with a weird shape of the front. I take it that's all the gubbins for the crusher. But it's basically, it's a simultaneously a lifting claw and a crushing weapon.
Yeah.
And its opponent is...
maybe it's similar to Complete Control in a way.
Maybe that's the principle, I imagine. The opponent is Doro.
With the coolest way to drive a robot ever, because he uses an actual joystick.
Yep, and a giant flipping arm. So it's one of these, you see some other robots like this, and I think Seros is an example. Mm-hmm.
It's very, the flipping arm is very Bronco in a way.
Bronco, yeah, I knew there was another robot I was thinking of, and it's this idea of, it's a very tall, the way it's shaped.
Weird
basically,
shape.
The way it's shaped is to take it back onto its, it's a self-righting thing, probably.
Yeah.
And it's also got that American thing of, the actual flip is not, it's explosive as opposed to, it's a very, compared to something like Chaos 2 or, you know, a British CO2 flipper.
Yeah.
it's a lot more of a sharp
bump
as opposed to an actual flip.
Yeah.
Or even like a Voltronic style lift.
Yeah, it's very like as you kind of say, like the way that Chaos 2 does it, and you see like almost the whole robot open wide, whereas with this it's just like a lot of energy stop.
Yeah.
And then the rest of that motion will keep the robot going over.
And that's why it will be interesting when we get to the new BattleBot season.
Yeah.
When you're going to see a proper British flipper against a proper American one. And find out which solution actually works better.
Orion, we're ready.
Send those Yanks into orbit, Orion.
Yes. And then Nelly can bonk.
So, this match lasts 10 seconds?
Maybe a bit longer than that, but...
It is literally Toro gets side on, yeet!
Yeet. One flip does it, and then Toro tries to feed Raptor to the pulverizer, which...
Doesn't work.
No. And then that's it.
That's it. That's the end of the show. And well, actually, one thing we will mention. At some point, we do need to mention the end credits.
Do we?
The end credits are just all the human beings, you know, the people we don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even the robot is. It's the presenters showing up and smiling to the camera and going, hey, fist bump.
We're bros. Bros!
We're literally bros.
Yeah. I know. I feel like that's that kind of thing of... BattleBots kind of feel as if they're... making a fucking racket.
Yeah.
BattleBots feel as if they're... people care about the personalities of the human beings much more than we actually do.
What? If they had... presenters with personality, I'm sure we would.
Yeah. I mean, look at the new seasons, like, some of the best stuff is, and there's people literally making memes out of Rose and Florian's comments of, they're like, oh, what a big hit, and all that kind of jazz.
Yep,
like,
absolutely.
Because they've got personality and they're likeable. But, I don't know, just, it's not the same thing when it comes to like a lot of the people here. Like, as you kind of mentioned, I feel like Heidi is like the most likable person.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know you don't really like the host that much, but I think they're definitely better than the Sklar brothers.
Yeah,
I mean, that's also not really that difficult either.
Yeah, it's weird because I think the last time I don't think I've ever watched anything else with the Sklar Brothers. It was just...
for a good reason, probably.
There was one time they showed up on a podcast I listened to, and that's about it.
Were they funny?
I don't know, I didn't listen to it.
Yeah. Maiden.
Anyway, lack of personality aside, we will be back with BattleBots next week, with episodes 7 and 8.
He did it right this time.
Sorry, I mean episode 8 and
7?
Team.